just became a raven.
Your art matters. It's what got me here.
Let's go. Ravens on three. 1, 2, 3, Ravens!
Hello and welcome to the Ravens, a One Tree Hill podcast. I'm Simon and I love One Tree Hill.
And I'm Dom and I've seen 136 episodes of One Tree Hill.
And tonight's episode for debate is Season 7, Episode 6, Deep Ocean, Vast Sea.
I'm Drew Barrymore and you're listening to the Ravens podcast with Simon and Dom.
So hello and welcome to the Ravens, a One Tree Hill podcast where it is always 10:30 at night, so it's time to grab the snacks from the sweet cupboard, move on upstairs and settle in as tonight's episode for debate is Season 7, Episode 6, Deep Ocean, Vast Sea. Dom, we're here. How are you, my friend?
I'm good. I'm glad to be here. We're in Tree Hill Podland. What a wonderful place to be. And I'm here just with you, my very good friend Simon. How are you, my friend?
I'm good. I'm alive. We just recorded John Q podcast episode, which amazing movie. It was a really fun podcast episode, so that'll be out. If people aren't already listening to the movie episodes, then hey, they're available to you. I was going to say do yourself a favor, but you know, let yourself be the judge of that. I'm really becoming not against, but also kind of against promoting our podcast in any which way, like on social media, anywhere else. I kind of really get to the point of I kind of only want people here that want to be here. Like, I don't want to have to tell people why they want to listen. I don't know if this is like an age thing. Like, I'm happy I want to promote it while we're on the podcast, but I also I don't want to be out here like beg friend, you know, like begging for listeners and begging for interviews as well. I feel kind of a bit over that. Just enjoy having these conversations with you, having the conversations with our Ravens, with the community. And I just feel like people want to discover us, then discover us. Like, we're out there. We're on the Spotify, Apple Podcasts, YouTube. Please run the numbers up on there. There's some embarrassing stuff on there, like one view. No one's looking for us on there, but hey, it's on there if you want it.
Some of that's me when I'm messing about with stuff at work. Like, I'm embedding our YouTube videos onto certain things, like for my work.
Well, it's like some of them have got really good views. Like our Little Giants episode, I think it's like just under 14,000 views or something. But then when you see some of our other videos that have one view, it really shows where their views are coming from, doesn't it? But some of these movie episodes, we've been really enjoying doing them. The last three movies we've done have been movies that at least one of us has never seen before. We've just done John Q, Weekend at Bernie's, Sling Blade. What did we do before that?
Other stuff.
And we got more to come. In fact, Dom, you should choose for next week.
I was thinking not that I should choose next week. I was thinking, there must be something in there that like maybe you haven't seen that I can pull out of the locker. So yeah, I'll have a think.
Yeah, you pick one. But in the meantime, let's talk about people that picked us. Shall I? Ooh, shall we?
Okay. Yeah, let's do that.
And by that, what I mean is we have a couple of new Ravens.
A couple of new Ravens.
I actually had, we had someone join and then the classic 3 hours later cancel. But I think Patreon's changed its rules now. So if you join and then cancel 3 hours later, you still get charged at least once. So maybe we should have shouted them out, but I had written their name down to shout them out and then they cancelled, so I took it off.
You ain't a raven, you're a pigeon. You ain't getting the shout out. Simple.
If anything,
we want to know what you wanted for those 3 hours.
So that's we can all do more of know. It, I guess.
Yeah.
Though I just spent if this whole time. Specific. I was just going off saying we're not pandering to people. We're not trying to sell out. And now I'm like, but we'll do what we can to get you to stay.
Tell us your wildest dreams and we'll make it come true.
But you have to at least stay as a Raven so we have enough time to record an episode for us to shout you out, you know?
Yeah, just a week. It's just a week. Literally. Survive a week and then leave.
Now, this is going to be an odd one. And I message everyone that comes on, personalized message to say, hey, welcome, thank you. How are you enjoying the podcast so far? When I ask that question, am I maybe fishing for them to compliment us? Maybe. Also, I'm genuinely interested. You know, how's it going? But also, tell us if you like us or not. Though we don't need it. We're not pandering. I'm so conflicted. But this person didn't respond to my message, so I don't have like an actual name for them. Well, you'll see. So coming in at Junior Varsity, we have Admin LGTA.
Admin LGTA. Wow. It looks like somebody forgot to set up the user profile correctly. But listen here, Admin LGTA. Sometimes we don't need to know your name. We don't need to know who you are. All we need to know is what ability you have. Have you got the ability to go out there and smash it like a Scott brother? That's all we care about. And do you know what, Admin L... What was it?
LGTA.
LGTA? I've seen that. I've seen that in you. I can see it in you, Admin LGTA. Four letters that I couldn't remember a second ago. But you, Admin LGTA, you are welcomed with open arms into the team of dreams because you just became a Raven.
Thank you very much, Admin LGTA. We really appreciate it. Now, Dom, we also have someone else that has done something that I know that you love, and I love to hear it when you get to do one of these. Someone that's upgraded.
Oh.
And we like to make mention of that when that happens. Now, I believe what happened, and you'll be really happy to hear this, I believe they joined as an STC, which of course is what?
Sweat Towel Collector.
And then maybe within the same day, must have realized that Sweat Towel Collectors do not get the privileges of Varsity. Now, what do they get of Varsity, Dom?
They get access to our wonderful content that we have, such as
the videos. The videos. If they go to Varsity, this happens a few times. They come in, these Ravens. They're pigeons. They're new Ravens. They don't know. They're just getting used to the new color of feathers and, you know, the denser feathers. And they're more like a predator, a Raven. They're more intelligent. Their brain grows. They're suddenly a more elite bird, okay? And they flock in murders. It's all very complicated. But
that's crazy.
It's an unkindness for a reason.
Come on, man. You know nothing about this show.
What is it? One Tree Mountain? I don't know what I'm saying. Do you know why I said that also? Well, just density, isn't it? But also, I was visiting my parents a few weeks ago with the family. And there was a massive flock of birds that flew over our heads. This was like at the beach. And I was like, it's so cool, isn't it? When they're like moving in formation. And my mum said, yeah, that's called a murmuration. It's like, new word alert. Anywho, these new Ravens come in, Sweat Towel Collector or Junior Varsity. And they don't realize that actually you got to be Varsity to get that back catalog, baby. Those Junior Varsity Sweat Towel Collectors, they're invited to the live watch-alongs, but they don't get that after party, I'm going to watch it later when I'm on my lunch break, Vimeo link archive to the back catalog watch-along videos. And so I think that's what happened here, that she just sent us a very lovely message, which I'll respond to later after the podcast. Coming in at Varsity, it's Zara.
I noticed that we had a sweat towel collector, but the sweat towels are just being ignored on the floor. Looks like some of the other ones aren't doing their job properly as well. I'll be having words with them. But I come into the hall to see what's going on. Why are all these sweat towels all over the floor? And I see you just shooting hoops, just sinking them one after the other, after the other, after the other. And you're just moving further and further and further away from the basket. And you're hitting it every time just like it's nothing. Like it's nothing. Like you've been doing it since you were born. Like you were made to do this. Like this is written in stone somewhere and this was made for you. Do you know why this was made for you? Zara, listen up and listen closely. Sweat towel collecting is not for you, Zara. No, 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 no. We leave that shit to other people. Other people that don't care about extra privileges and stuff. We leave that crap for them because, Zara, you just became a raven. And a better raven.
There we go. Yes. Thank you, Zara. Thank you, admin LGTA. We appreciate you both. We appreciate you all. Dom doesn't like it when I tell people about appreciation and appreciating them, but we do. It's true.
I don't mind. I think you can appreciate people for them doing something. So if they signed up, we appreciate it. I appreciate it. I think it's great. It's just when like people go, appreciate you, and there's no like real meaning behind it. Because they've not done anything for them in particular.
Understood. Clarity has been given. Well, let's talk about One Tree Hill, Dom. He's signing One Tree Hill. Yes, like the YMCA, but One Tree Hill. It's just you and me tonight, which means we're going to have to work really hard to keep this on track. We know that the madness ensues when there's no one here that we have to... You know, right, they're to rein us
babysit,
in.
Babysit, is that what you're saying?
They're babysitting us.
There's no one to watch us.
The chaos. The best, like, chaotic thing we had recently was the whole thing about salad tongs. No, it was M&M tongs, wasn't it?
That's it. You don't want to be putting your hand in there.
The tongs of the podcast. Well, this episode, to me felt really similar to the last episode. Like when I was watching it, I was thinking, have we done this? have we podcasted this already? Because not to say that things haven't changed, but a lot of the storylines feels like we haven't had any completion. It's just a bit more continuation.
There's a lot of continuation, and then there's a slight additional depth with Clay, just slightly, but that's kind of it. Everything else is, we're just continuing the drawing out of this storyline, or the storylines that are involved, but mostly the Nathan, Haley, other woman situation.
But also that is continuing, and then with Malph and Millie... continuing. That was
the same problem, wasn't it, as well? It was the same thing. She disappeared for the night.
Right.
No messages. Yeah.
Just repeated. Brooke, Julian, and Alex, the same thing. It's like, okay. So the addition we had was Chase was in the mix, and Mia, not much really happened there. And then no Jamie, a little bit of Dan, but even that was a continuation of the Renee. I'm thinking of what's the diarrhea pills? Rennie. No.
No, Rennie's for heartburn.
Oh. That's why my diarrhea never stops.
It's fucking like a tap over there pouring out of him.
My heart feels fine, but
give him a Rennie.
I'm like, they're not working. Bring up more paper or a sponge.
Call the plumber. Again. Third time today.
Call a doctor.
He's basically a husk. There's no fluid left in him.
Bring me a Sprite, please. And a cigarette.
Oh, God. Oh, he's whitey'd.
It's both ends.
Oh.
Give me more Rennie or Gaviscon.
Gaviscon. No one knows what we're talking about. And it begins.
I needed that. That was good. What were we talking about?
Who do you want to start with?
Wait, where did the Rennie thing come from?
You've got the shits.
No, there was a point. There was a point to it. What were we talking about?
You were saying Renee, and then it became Rennie.
Renee.
Yeah.
Renee's talking to Dan and Rachel, and that started in the last episode too. So it really is like we hadn't really got anywhere. And the Clay and Quinn, I've got so much to say about that, hasn't really moved either. It's just continual them getting to know each other. This also isn't to say that I didn't like any of these storylines, but it just felt a bit like, dare I say it, to take your phrase, a bit fillery.
Giving you the eyes, because, you know, I'm not sure you've used fillery before.
No, I'm not sure either of us have used fillery before, but yeah, it's a it feels like we could have got to the punchline or to the payoff in this episode. That's not to say the payoff's coming in the next episode, but I just mean this is set up for a payoff and we could have had the payoff already. Like, we've had enough set up.
Yeah, things tend to happen quite quickly in One Tree Hill as well. So I'm quite surprised that it has kind of gone on, like, extended for another episode. And it does feel like it's just continuation of everyone's story. And there's little nuggets of information that people find out. And there's, you know, theories that I come up with as well on the back of it. But other than that, there wasn't a great deal of change from this episode to the last one, exactly like you said. So yeah, I mean, we can dig into that a little bit more when we do our character assassinations. So
you pick one.
Should we start with Clay and Quinn?
I'd love to. Can we start the Quinn side of it first?
Okay. Yeah, of course.
Tell us a bit about Quinn. I'll just interject with my rage when you get to the right part.
Okay, well, Quinn's just kind of on the beach, not really doing a lot with her life, mooching about, bless her. She's going through a tough time.
Well, we spoke about this on the watch along. She's taking pictures of strangers and old couples and people and whatever. And I said on the watch along, can she do this? Can you just take, like, and you were saying yes, that if you're in public, then people can take your picture and whatever. Now, what I didn't get to ask you on the podcast was, I was like, well, what the fuck? If I was like out with my family, I don't want someone taking my picture. If they ask and I say, yeah, cool, go for it, then sure. But like, I wouldn't like the idea of someone taking my picture without my permission. And you said, well, you know, you're on CCTV all the time. True. Mm. Yes. But I guess the thing with CCTV is I don't think someone's then going to put it on a wall somewhere or something, or do something. But I wanted to ask you how you feel about it. Like, if someone was just taking your picture without asking you, and then potentially it might end up in like a portfolio or something, would you feel any which way, or you don't mind? I mean, imagine also, like, you've just had diarrhea and you're sweating and you don't feel very good and you've got food around your mouth or something, or I don't know, the lighting isn't very flattering.
I've got no real issue with it at all, because that's, you know, it's art at the end of the day, and some people do it for their livelihood as well. So,
right. Absolutely. And with that, which,
or was that a penny dropping? Yeah. You can pick that up now.
I've just had this sudden newfound respect for people taking pictures.
Oh dear. But you're right. You're absolutely right. So, like, I think some people... So, okay, the reason we're laughing is because my girlfriend is a photographer and she does a lot of street photography. Yes. But in a lot of cases, when she's doing, like, kind of like portrait photography or pictures of people, she does tend to ask them first. So she will approach people and ask them and say, do you mind if I take your picture? You know, this is what I do, and so on and so forth. And some people are really receptive to it and just say, yeah. But also from a legal standpoint, because you're in a public location, there's absolutely no law against someone taking a picture of you or recording you. You can be recorded as well. Mm. So there's no, you're allowed to do that. That's fine. But yeah, I don't really have a problem with it anyway. I don't think I'd have an issue because I think, you're going to end up, if you consider the amount of pictures that you would be in, like, I always think about this. I always think when you're in London or something like that, and you walk past someone who's taking a selfie with them and their partner, or like, there's three of them and you happen to walk past, I always think, I wonder how many pictures I'm in the background of.
Yeah.
Just like random people, you know, from across the world. Do you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. I always think that's really interesting. But yeah, I don't have an issue with it. I've got no problem with it. But I know that you do, and I respect that.
Well, no, I mean, okay, well, a couple points. Firstly, I guess, yeah, okay, the penny definitely did drop there. Whoops. But it was unintentional. But I guess also by the same point, I would imagine that if somebody said to your girlfriend, oh, hey, sorry, I actually, would you mind deleting that? Like, I just kind of a private person. I obviously also know that she would, right? It's like, not like a... Yeah. So, I mean, I think like, as long as people can feel comfortable with going both ways and being, you know, like, I know that she would be a conscientious photographer and not be looking to upset anybody and it just being like a thing. And, you know, I probably wouldn't really mind anyway, but it just was a bit jarring to me that she's just like taking these pictures on the beach. And maybe it's because, well, they're not, but I mean, you could maybe argue on a beach people are in swimwear and stuff. I mean, I know she's, we could go down a whole rabbit hole with this, but yes, I see your point totally. And then also with like being in the background of other people's pictures, not in this house but in our previous house, we had pictures in like our hallway, and one of them was of F and I at the Mets game that we were talking about before we were recording, and we're just sort of taking a selfie, and there are like, I don't know, 50 people in the background, and there's one guy on the phone and other people, and I always think about that, like, yeah, they don't realize they're just in yeah. some house in England. You know,
that's it, they're captured in a moment of time, and you know, in your, like, it would have been on your phone, you know, or if you had a camera with you or whatever, and then you've printed that and you've put it up, and those people will be on your hallway wall forever, you know, yeah. until you decide to take that picture down. But yeah, it's people that you don't know their names, you don't know who they are. And like, sometimes that's really interesting. You know, what you should do is put it on like a Mets messaging board and be like, who are these people? Yeah. I want to know you. Listen to my podcast. I don't need your approval.
Yeah, but never take a picture of me, okay? It's a one-way yeah. thing. I can do it, but you can't.
call me colonel now.
Yeah, it is interesting. Very interesting. Mm. It's like, we're basically in our own life, we're the main character of our own movie. But to everybody else, we're background performers in their movies, mm. you know? So
we would always be the favorite background performer online or less.
Definitely. And my one line would be, Rennie! Give me the Rennie! But okay, yeah, she's taking pictures. She's on the beach. She keeps bumping into Clay. Clay's on a morning run. You know, he's sweaty, but yet he's handsome. You know, he's able to maintain it.
He's got that, you know, iPod on the go as well, the little silver one.
Yeah, it's on the arm.
Strapped to his arm.
Wired headphones.
Beautiful.
What do you reckon Beautiful. He was listening? What was he listening
had
to?
Had one of those.
Oh, what, the silver iPods?
Yeah, beautiful. Loved it. I accidentally stepped on it and ruined the screen. I was devastated. devastating.
Crazy how iPods or MP3 players, like, on their own are a thing of the past. Like, I bought an iPod when I started the inclusion project. I bought an iPod because I was like, I'm going to be in the car all the time. And so I thought I could just have one that, like, lives in the car. And the iPods now, I don't know, this was like 8 years ago now, so I don't know if it's the same anymore. It's basically just an iPhone without it having the phone capabilities. Like, it has all the apps on it and everything. It's like, oh, it's crazy. It's really pointless.
Yeah,
like,
just what it evolved to, wasn't it? Yeah.
Just have an iPhone with larger storage. Like,
yeah.
So, yeah. But okay, so this is all fine. They sort of got their flirty banter going on. I don't know if it's at this point that she divulges to him that she's afraid of the ocean and its vastness. And then it comes back again a little bit later and they're having another conversation on the beach. And this is where Clay kind of opens up a little bit and says, actually, I'm not in Tree Hill. Basically not in Tree Hill like by choice. It's like I've been asked to spend the summer here because I went off the rails a little bit emotionally. Doesn't explain much further than that, but then has this realization of, oh wait, what am I doing? I can't be here with you. Nathan asked me, you know, not to, so I'm gonna go home. Let me just allow you to speak on that for a second before moving on, because I know that you have things to say.
I think just that moment as well, he's sort of strolling along the beach looking a bit mopey, and she hasn't moved. She's in the same place that she was before, you know, and it's like, let's go and sit on my towel while he's fully dressed in his shirt and smart trousers and shoes. I don't really know what her purpose is yet. I don't really get what Quinn's purpose is. Who is she there for? You know, she's just, I don't know how she fits quite yet. Like, is she supposed to assume the role of that Peyton character and just kind of continue that? But she's not like really an outlet for Brooke. She's only kind of an outlet for Clay, which then changes because he's like, I can't see you anymore. I need to kind of respect what's going on with Nathan and what's going on with your sister. And it's all like, I need to basically have my head in the game. And then, like you said, he then becomes very open and says, you know, some stuff's gone on. I need to be here. I was kind of sent here. And this isn't like vacation time. Like, I was just literally sent here to kind of get my head together. I kind of took most of my clients away and I've just got Nathan, a bit of on a destructive path. It kind of feels like he's saying. And I feel like I've been saying for a little while that all the women, and there's something about him where he's kind of overcompensating for something, like some sort of tragedy that's happened. And then this random girl, young lady, woman appears. I didn't get a name. Did she say her name?
I don't think it was divulged, so I will not divulge it.
Okay. But she's in Suits, the program Suits, so she's very good in that. I mentioned that on the watch along. But I just get the feeling that she is not real. She doesn't exist. I've been saying that there's something not quite right about him, like he's lost someone or something's happened, something fairly tragic has happened to someone that he's close to. And I think that this might be a partner or a wife that has sadly died. And he's went off the rails a little bit because of that. Apologies for the not great term there. But he's in a kind of deep emotional state because of it. And it's kind of why he is where he is. And he is imagining her. I don't think she's really there. Because she appeared too easily. And it's kind of like she appeared at the bar. You always find me, you know, in these places and stuff, you always kind of know where I am. There's no mention of her. And then all of a sudden he's then at home with her. I want you to stay. Do you want me to stay? Is that, you know, it just kind of feels like, is that really, it's kind of like his brain is saying, is it really wise for me to stay? Which is her. Because this hasn't done you any good. That's how it feels anyway. I may be wrong.
Me? I don't know.
Just shrugging at me.
I don't know. But That I do know, but I will say nothing. I don't know. We will see. You will see. Let's get back on the Quinn bandwagon for a minute. She comes in a bit disgruntled into the living room of Nathan and
Haley's
house, and joy just kept coming into my head. But yes, in Nathan and Haley's house, and the phone's ringing over and over and over again. We'll get to Nathan in a minute, but and he says, "Oh, it's the press," and she picks up the phone and says, "Eat shit, nerds," or something like that, or no, "Beat it, nerds." What did she say? She said, "Beat it, nerds." She wouldn't have said the first one. That would be
have some Rennie.
Right, she's like, you know, "Beat it, nerds," and he's like, "Oh, thank you." And he said, "Oh, what is he? How does he address it to her?" No, or she says something like, "Also, hey, can you be, you know, well, how does she say it?" She basically says, "I want to see Clay. I'm not a child. Can you not, you know, tell people who can and cannot interact with me?" And he's like, "Well, a child isn't, you know, oh, I don't." What does he say? How does he get into it? He basically says something like, "Well, you're not talking to your husband. You know, that's not a very mature thing to be doing." I'm kind of paraphrasing.
Yeah, but paraphrasing is fine. Like, essentially, she walks in and he's like, "Well, you're not behaving how you should be behaving. You
right.
know, sort yourself out. You're literally not acting like the grown-up you're claiming you are. You know, you say, 'I can see who I want to see, I'm an adult,' but you're not acting like one. Start right. acting like one. I'll start treating you like one." Because what you're doing, running around, like, hiding with him and doing whatever you're doing, is just ridiculous when you've got your still husband who still doesn't really know what the hell's going on. And you're just kind of ignoring him. And we all like David. And Clay is an employee, so sort yourself out.
Well, he says, "Do you mind not? There's plenty of guys in Tree Hill that will sleep with you. Do you mind not sleeping with the guy that's responsible for my career?" Is what he says. And she's saying, "Oh, very well, you're the one that's living in glass houses. You're the one that won't even answer the phone to the press." And it's at that moment I just thought, like, fuck you, Quinn. Like, fuck yeah. you. Like, he's actually going, he's in the middle of, by 2024 standards, being cancelled through a scandal, right? Which, as far as we know and what he's telling us, he did not do. He's being battered left, right and centre. He's lost endorsement deals. He's worried he's going to lose his NBA career, which he's worked his whole life to get. He's still got a family to support, this, that and the other. And you're disgruntled because he's asked you if, "Hey, would you mind not starting a relationship with what seems to be like his best friend as well as his agent in the middle of a crisis?" Like, I really don't think that's too much to ask. Also, I've got a fucking guest in my house. Do you know how much of a strain it is when you have someone to stay over? Like, as in, like, people don't really stay over here. Actually, don't think anyone's ever stayed over in our current house. But, you know, from times where I've had people stay over, not family, but I don't know. I don't have people stay over because it's such a strain. But it's like... like, you don't feel that comfortable. We had somebody here the other day that we're having new wardrobes fitted, right? We had, as you know, having the house renovated in a few weeks. And we're having these new wardrobes fitted. And so the guy was upstairs, like, doing the measurements and whatever in our bedroom. And I was sat down here in my office. And I'm uncomfortable the whole time that there's somebody in my house. He then comes downstairs. It's completely fine. But he says, "Oh, is there somewhere, like, a table or a desk I can sit at to, like, work it all out?" And I was like, "Yeah, you know, here in the dining room, whatever." He sits down. He's there for, like, an hour, like, working it all out. And I was thinking, can you not do this in the office or somewhere that's, like, your office? Like,
not my house.
Right? Like, my point is, yeah, okay, she's family and whatever, whatever, whatever. But also, maybe he just needs a bit of space. I don't know. I don't want to come across as, like, a real Quinn hater, and our opinions fluctuate over time on different characters. Sometimes they're good, sometimes they're annoying. We go up and down on everyone. Nobody here is on a clean slate, okay? That is life. You and I, Dom, we have ups, we have downs. We do good things, we do bad things. We learn, we balance, we move forward. I just wish Quinn would balance, learn, and move forward. Give the man some space. And then he was the one that had to go to her and apologize to her and say, yeah, you can stay for as long as you want. Oh, sorry, I overstepped. But did you though, Nathan? I mean, I'm so glad and happy for you that you can be so in touch with yourself that you can see these mistakes and you can be more mature and you can apologize, amend, do whatever. I'm so happy to see these versions of you. But still, Quinn, fix up, look sharp, pull your socks up, Dizzy Rascal.
Feel better?
Feel something. That was Rennie out of the mouth. Don't know, am I okay? Is that over the top? What do you think?
No, I think you're spot on. I think she could do one, honestly. I'd be like, well, if you're going to be a bitch and if you're going to answer my phone in that way, you're out in the fucking street. I don't care who your sister is.
Tom took it to another level.
I'll get Dan to nanny carry you.
Yeah. Okay.
Simple.
Yeah.
Simple as that.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think she's just got a lot of, she's got like a lot of front, hasn't she? She's like, has a lot of opinion. And then when somebody expresses opinion about her situation, it's not received well, you know, and people in glass houses, like she says, you know, she's got to be careful as well. You know, she even commented in the last episode that there's a lot of drama there, you know, and adding to it isn't going to help, you know, and that's kind of all that she's done in this episode is she's just gone and added to that situation by going and having that kind of issue with Nathan, although he's the one that brings it up and like creates a bit of a problem there. I think, like you said, he's kind of within his rights to. It's a stressful situation. There's a lot going on. Hayley is, you know, doesn't trust him at all at the moment, it seems. And he's finding it difficult. He's trying to manage the situation and he needs his agent to have his head in the game and he hasn't. So, yeah, I think it's fair. But I'm hoping she does have that turn and she becomes a character that we like kind of grow to like. But at the moment, if she disappeared, I wouldn't care.
Yeah, okay. It's just she's low on the totem pole.
Yeah, very.
Okay. Well, where do you want to go to next?
Is there anything more to say about them? Again, I think Clay is sort of having an episode or some sort of schizophrenia, something like that. I'm not sure. There's something happening with him.
I think we've covered him quite well. And I think you kind of said your predictions or what you think. So, yeah, I think we're okay.
Okay. Should we go to Nathan and Hayley?
Yeah, tell us about Nathan and Hayley.
Well, the story continues. It becomes about phone calls and looking through the phone bills. And I'd made a prediction that, you know, the phone had been given to Renee by Rachel and was somehow involved in the phone call that Dan had made. And that's how those calls had got through. But that was seemed to be like a bit of a wild goose chase. And, it, you know, Nathan kind of explains that he's an NBA star. He gets phone calls and emails and messages all the time. And he replies saying, you know, I love my wife and my wife trusts me. Also, I thought. And they're having this incredibly tense episode and this tense situation where Hayley is like, we should just pay her. Let's just pay her and get rid of her because her trust in him is dwindling. It's getting lower and lower because of all these things that are going on, and the basically Renee is making out that this is a real situation, that, you know, look at the amount of times that we've been in contact, and he's adamant that he has no recollection of her or like has never really been in any conversation with her or anything. So it's a difficult situation for Hayley because she's really put all her faith into him. And it just seems like there's not a lot of kind of reward or positive stuff coming back from it, you know. And she's, you know, she had a night in the cell and even a night. It was just like an afternoon in a cell with the other ladies that basically said that, you know, well, that's what they're like. That's what all men are like. And they're all, you know, they paint everyone in a bad picture, in a bad light, and he's kind of falling into that category, and he's not really able to explain kind of well enough that it's all nonsense, and kind of pushes it back on Haley each time. They're, like, throughout this episode, I get annoyed with him and I get annoyed with her, kind of in equal measure. There's like, you either trust him or you don't, and you clearly don't. And then when he pushes back at you to say, oh, like, you don't trust me, it's just like, well, you're not giving her any reason to trust you. So it's really difficult. You sort of fall in and out with both of them. And there's a fantastic moment where he's swimming in the pool, and then all of a sudden he's sitting on the edge of it and his hair is perfectly dry, even though he'd been under the water. His hair is perfectly dry and perfectly, you know, brushed and fixed to fit the scene. But they just have such a big tension, and she's like, I'm gonna pay. That was the other thing. She's like, I'm gonna pay her. I'm not asking your permission, I'm telling you. And I'm like, well, who's fucking money? It's 250 grand. Whose fucking money are you spending? Is it his? Because, not being funny, you've not even been able to hold down the two jobs that you did have. So where the fuck have you got this money from? Oh wait, probably his endorsement deal with the body spray company that he's now lost.
Oh yeah.
Because of this whole situation. So yeah, I'm not really sure what's going on there, mate.
Yes. I did get annoyed at him for storming off when they were having a confrontation in like the kitchen, because he always does that. It's like, come on, man, finish a conversation one time.
Yeah, you might as well say, I'm not going to knock anyone up on the way, you know, again. Or right. I won't knock anyone up on the way out. You know?
Cause it's just repetition of the last episode. It really is.
Yeah.
It really is. Well, do you have any predictions for them?
Well, I mean, the whole situation, like Renee basically said, but this needs to be settled by 8 o'clock. If it isn't, I have other options. Part of me was thinking of the other options, the four other NBA stars that you're blackmailing.
Yeah.
But obviously it's to go on to Dan's TV show. And I think we're pretty much covering Renee at the same time, is that Renee is sitting with Rachel, and Rachel's like, do it for the money, because I'm a manly grabbing bitch, and it doesn't matter that it's Dan's son, you know. And I think Dan is like, oh, it doesn't matter that it's my son, we'll still do the program because it's the truth, right? And that's where, for somehow, like, he manages to just put this kind of trigger of morality into people that makes them suddenly go, oh shit, it isn't the truth. Well, this is my perception. Like, it isn't the truth, so I need to really think about this now. Really think about whether I want to go into TV to kind of discredit this person and make their life difficult and their family, for it to kind of be found out in a few months' time that it isn't real. And then she has the conversation with Rachel. Rachel explains that they had a phone call, they don't even like each other, and he threw this in his face and this, that, and the other, and this would sort your baby's life out, and you know, you'll have all this money and things, it'll be wonderful for you. And all she's thinking about is money bags for herself and ratings for the TV show. So I kind of think that she's gonna go through with the TV show, because Haley didn't come through. We're paying her up at the end. And I think Dan is either going to be a little bit blindsided by something that's said, or will be kind of taken aback when it's kind of found out that it's bullshit and Rachel's maybe doing some really underhanded stuff. That Dan is kind of going to go, Rachel, why are you doing all this like weird shit behind my back, trying to make me look like an asshole to my son and the rest of my family and like the world? You know, this isn't like tabloid crap. This is about people speaking the truth and getting it all out there, and kind of redeeming themselves, which is the whole point of the show, and you're profiteering out of it. So I think that's going to be a point of tension soon as well.
Okay, we will see. I don't really have anything to add to that. I think you articulated it perfectly. I guess we've got a couple. We could, I guess, Brooke, Julian, Alex, Mia, and Chase are all connected. That's
Millie and Mouth.
How are Millie and Mouth? Oh, I guess. Yes, that's true. And Millie and Mouth. Yes, they are all connected. And then that's everyone, isn't it?
Yes. Jesus. That is all of them.
Okay. Give it a go.
Okay. Well, like the start of the episode is pretty much Brooke and Julian getting a little bit fresh and frisky. We're seeing a little bit of, you know, side ass from Julian, I think.
Well, she says, seeing this beautiful body of yours, talking to Julian, you've given me the motivation to try something that I haven't done before that will take a long time and a lot of work. What do you think she's talking about, Dom?
I think she means playing Kaplunk.
What?
Never played Kaplunk?
I've heard of it, but I've never played it.
So it's like a game where you've got like a tube and loads of sticks.
Oh,
and
yeah.
You pull these marbles
and you
in,
pull them out and they
pull
go...
Pull the sticks out. Yeah. It's Kaplunk. I think it takes time, takes a bit of, you know, energy, something that she's probably never done before. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, she's playing Kaplunk in her mind with Julian and not a lot of clothes on.
So there we have it. But it's interrupted by the fact that Hobag, as she likes to call Alex, is coming over to do some work with Julian, Dom.
Yeah, and they worked late into the night, and she's coming round fairly early to do more work, but this is just business.
I'll leave his list below.
It's business. Brooke, it's business. It's not even that bad. I just like to put it on a lot worse because it's funny.
You just have a problem with people. Sam had a giant head.
Oh, the head was so big.
Julian's got a lisp. I guess I actually noticed that Mouth's head went a bit bobbly again today. I was like, bobblehead, bobblehead's back. Luke has had a squint. So and then Alex's whole thing, I guess, really is that she's like rewriting the script, which Millie kind of inspired. Millie sort of got drunk again, spent the night there with Alex, and is worried that, you know, this is, she didn't message Mouth, but no fear, Alex messaged him and called him Melvin and said, not to worry, but when you're ready, come and rock out with your, and it got cut off there. I think we can imagine
your kaplunk out.
Your kaplunk out, yeah. And so Millie's kind of a mess this whole episode, turning up to close over bros, and Brooke's got a new assistant that seems to be, you know, really on top of things, while she's like misbuttoned up her like cardigan or her, you know, her jumper and whatever.
I've got two things that I want to say. One is about Alex. So Alex starts off the episode like really positively, like she's up early, well, writing pages, sorting out her script, pencil in her hair, texted Melvin because, you know, that's what friends do, kind of trying to look out for you. But it was like a weird message, still like a very immature message. But she had the ass kicking from Brooke in the last episode, and she's like immediately defaulted back. Like, you ruined this opportunity with Julian to write this script and make this film and do something good with your life and actually break the mold and be someone different and just be better than the person that you're being right now, which is the whole premise of the fucking show.
Yes.
But what all she does in this episode is just immediately revert.
Yeah.
She's immediately gone back to being that irritating little twat that she was before. Like, she's literally slobbering all over Julian, and he's kind of like playfully going along with it, but keeps getting further away from her and is like, yeah, no thank you, no thank you, no thank you. And then he's like, I'm late for lunch with Brooke, and like eventually gets up and leaves.
Do it again.
Eventually, I love Julian, don't get me wrong, I think he's wonderful. It's just like immediately took an instant disliking to her again because of that. Just like, you made all that effort to, I kind of dress up like Millie, I guess, in the last one, hand in the script, make a little joke, you know, tongue in cheek sort of thing, and then leave, which is fine. But then to come around and be like throwing yourself at him again, and then, then we have the comment to Brooke of, you know, I was totally naked, and you know, he still ran out and went to you. He must be in love with you, sort of thing. You think, okay, there's a nice sentiment to that somewhere in there, but yeah, what an idiot for not saying anything, because I think Brooke probably would have gone in and broken her nose. But You know, I think Chase is right in this situation. I am jumping around a little bit here, like, because they're all linked. But Chase is right in the situation that she's a bit brookish. And mm-hmm. she is a bit brookish, you know, turning up on back seats naked and all that. And then to jump to Millie, what was my problem with Millie? My problem with Millie is, Millie's like, I can do two jobs. I can do this and I can be your assistant, right? But we had a scene or like an episode where Millie was like the executive. Millie walks in and she was like Brooke was when we see Close Over Brush. She's like, you, fuck you, Four Eyes, get my coffee in. Like, if there's any milk in it, I'm going to spit it in your face. And that sort of thing. She's really like, high executive of the company. Close Over Brush executive. She's like Victoria's boss now. That's what we're saying. Mm-hmm. Then all of a sudden, we just have like a replacement assistant and the assistant is doing all this grunt work, all this dirty work that you don't want to be doing because you're a model now. So what was her fucking role beforehand? This program just makes no fucking sense with actually keeping a storyline. It's just completely changed. Like, just that job and that whole situation is just completely different.
Yeah.
So those two things in this episode particularly pissed me off.
Yeah, I know. I completely agree. You're completely right. There's this element of that she is the new Brooke, and even she's saying to her assistant, but hey, remember, have fun. You're a good assistant. You know, that's sort of trying to show the shades, the light and the dark. But yeah, you're totally right. They completely just ignored that, and it's like she was always Brooke's assistant.
Mm. Oh, yeah. It was the same girl, wasn't it? Was it not?
Yeah, I think it was.
It was the same girl that was her assistant in that episode. To then suddenly becoming this,
yeah,
doing all the grunt work. It was just, I just think, what? It's just nonsense. Like, I think Millie had a really important story in this episode, and I think it's an important story to talk about in terms of like body confidence and her going to lunch with Alex, and she's got this massive bowl of pasta, and all I could think was, I would put my face in it.
Yeah,
it was like, what a wonderful bowl of pasta! It's so deep. Yeah, as well. It was a plant pot of fucking pasta.
I was thinking, now order a side of garlic bread to go with that and a Coke. That's it.
Smash that bad boy down and we're good. Yeah. Do you know what I mean? I'd be like, but Alex then has the nerve to say you're a plus size model, which is just absolutely outrageous.
So ridiculous.
It's just like the concept of it in those days is just absolutely bizarre. But I guess that was the world we lived in then. And her body confidence just plummets and she leaves the pasta and it's just like, no, just eat it, enjoy it, you know, be you, be yourself. That's the whole point. Mm. That's the whole point. Size zero isn't a size. Mm-hmm. And you can enjoy yourself and eat what you want. But there's a lot of emphasis on these diet pills. There's a lot of like hints at these diet pills. I'm not even sure they're diet pills. They could be anything. They could be Rennie. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah,
it could be Dyrolite. It could be all sorts. So I think Alex taking them is silly. And there's lots of like, oh, this is a size zero. It's too big. And there's all of that. And there's just all these body confidence things that they keep throwing in Millie's direction. And then she has the kind of like a breakdown about it at the end to Mouth. And Mouth like does the whole like nice kind of Cinderella thing and putting the shoe on her foot. And it's like a nice moment of like rekindling the issues that they had, because she turns up, her hair's kind of like that one bit that's sort of sticking up and curling out. She's supposed to be a bit bumbly and a bit of a mess, but she's also supposed to be this model now and the face of Close Over Bros. But she's just anxious and scared and worried about it, because she doesn't feel like she's the right, you know, shape or person to be this model. She doesn't feel like a model. And Mouth is like, you know, you're beautiful. You do whatever you want to do. It's absolutely fine. You know, change your tune, mate. Just saying.
Yeah.
And she then goes and sneaks in and says, I forgot my camera, and takes some of the pills. And then I think we're going to run into some issues with these pills. We're going to run into some problems. We're going to end up in the ER because of it, I think.
Okay.
There's going to be a problem somewhere. Like, I mean, we're heading into eating disorder territory, and it's just scary. Like, it's just scary, isn't it? It's just scary. She doesn't deserve that.
No, she's such a great character, and she's so nice and beautiful, and like beautifully sized or whatever. I mean, there's nobody in this show. I mean, is like a poor representation of diversity. I mean, we've discussed this many times, right? In many different ways, but in body shape way also, like all of the men have six packs and run on the beach and whatever and lifting weights and whatever, whatever. And all of the, like, even Mouth is like hench.
I was gonna say,
yeah, he's, yeah, ripped.
He's ripped, isn't he?
And then all of the women are like beautiful and slender and whatever, and it's like, come on now, like, it's not that isn't real life. But it was a sign of the times, and the times weren't even that long ago. And then the other important part with Mouth is that he gets back on the air, but then he goes off and basically goes on a rant saying that it's not news, and we shouldn't be reporting on Nathan's scandal when we don't know it to be true. All we're doing is actually fanning the flames and making it bigger, and that's not what it's about. And he locks his boss in his office with that old chair under the handle trick, which I feel like must be a fallacy. Like, is that real? Can you actually do that?
If the door opened outward, probably. I don't know, should we try it? I don't have a chair. Have you got chairs that are at handle height?
No.
Okay. I'll wander around some buildings and see if I can do it.
That stool behind you looks like you could probably angle it at the right kind of angle.
It will be too, for if you consider the height of a door handle and that stool, it will be too angled, so it would just fall. I reckon. I'll try it. Although I'd lock myself in. I need a second person, don't I?
We'll have to see each other in real life.
Yeah. We'd have to bother driving to one another.
Yeah, it's just the 10 minute, it's a whole thing. The 10 minute drive. Mike's out there driving 10 hour round trips. if you know, you know.
Bless him.
Yeah, go on.
Mouth has like a big integrity move here, you know. That guy that comes in to get the tape. Like I can't remember his name, but he's in a few episodes, isn't he?
Yeah, his
and he comes
friend.
In to get the tape, and he's like, "Oh, you haven't seen the boards, man?" And he's like, "No, like, what's going on?" And he's like, "Oh, Nathan's lost his endorsements." Like, "Oh, you didn't know? Oh, I'm so sorry." And then Mouse like, "Oh, tell whatever, I'll be back later," and he disappears. And then this guy looks just so like heartbreaking. He's like shaking his head, and he's like, "Oh, what have I done? I fucking ruined his day by telling him something that he would have found out anyway." Oh, and he's like really shaking his head, and he's upset by it. And then Mouth goes and speaks to Nathan, and Nathan's like, "Do what you got to do for your career, man. Like, you're the face of bad news in my life, but do what you got to do. You've been there for me." And he's like, he hasn't really, but okay. And he goes on. He's on. He's like, "I'm going to do it. I want to do it. I want to do the report. Let me go on. I've got an exclusive." And he goes on, jam the chair in, and he says, "It's all tabloid bullshit. Let's wait for the facts to come out, and then we can report on that. And until then, we're only going to talk about facts." And this guy's like fuming. But I think, you know, Mouth's going to be saved. Someone's going to come in and be like, "That was an integrity move. You did a good job there, son. What we've done is we've gone and fired whatever his name is, and we're gonna make you the main sports guy from now on. And no one will ever take your position." Or they go, "Come and join us on our station, because we need people like you with integrity, and we'll only speak the truth."
This is a great impression. Well, he is the luckiest guy, though, isn't he? Like, sleeps with his boss, thinks that scandal is going to come out, boss gets fired, someone else comes in, gets a promotion. Like, he kind of just the luck on this kid without really having to face up and take accountability for any of his actions or wrongdoing.
Girlfriend becomes a model, you know, all sorts of good things coming his way. He's got an absolutely huge wang.
Just got a fucking massive knob. Like, you know, do you remember Sam? Do you remember the size of her head? That's his bell end.
No.
That's on the end of the cannon that is his...
The python has spoken.
His massive phallus.
Let's move on from Mouth. I think, this guy be like, "You're fired," but that guy might get fired and his job is saved, or someone else picks him up at a different network or outlet to give him a career doing what he loves and sports casting, and we're in media. Is that what he wants to do? And just to jump back to Julian and Brooke, it's just the continuation of jealousy between them. Obviously, we have the realization that omission, I guess, that Alex was naked, threw herself at Julian, and he kept that quiet. And she goes nuts and fires Alex. Alex is now unemployed. That's it. I got a contract. Oh, I couldn't give a fuck. You broke that. Bosh, you're out. And like, see you later, losers, or whatever she says, and storms out. And Julian's like, I better go. I better chase after her. And that's kind of it.
She says, you, couch, you, fired. And she says, yeah, ciao, bitches. Which is all very... The thing with Brooke is she's very... I don't know how to explain it. You know, this kind of say something and pout and, yeah, bitch, it's like very, this is going to be deep. She kind of, I think, at this period of time in the early 2000s, or where are we at now? It's like 2009, I think, maybe.
Don't
somewhere.
Ask me, I don't know.
Somewhere, I think it's like 2009, 2010. She was kind of being pitched as the character, I think, is like, here's like the poster woman for independent women. We're doing it for ourselves, this kind of thing. And I think looking at it from just 14 years on, it's like some of the things that Brooke does is great and, yep, independent and doing this and that and the other. And other things, it's like, but she's also fucking awful, like to certain people and this, that and the other, which is also fine. Like, they, like you've said, the point of the show is about people making mistakes, learning from them, becoming new and evolved versions of themselves. But she has a certain sort of attitude, like the Brooke Davis attitude, and sometimes it can be a bit annoying, but here it was good. It was like, yeah, this was, she was being assertive, and he should have told her that, you know, she stripped in front of me and whatever. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, he told her everything else, so he might as well have chucked that in as well. But, you know, I don't know. Maybe he was doing her a favour so that she didn't get sacked. But, yeah. I mean, Chase is kind of fodder in this. He's kind of, it just happens to be in the wrong place at the wrong time. He's looking at rings. Looks like he's looking at, like, little accessories and rings. I'm looking for something for Mia. And Brick's like, oh, you've been together a long time now. And, you know, it's just like, okay, we're hinting at him proposing. And I thought there might be a bit of that at the end when they're like, oh, dinner, snooker table, you know. I'm pretty sure Peyton's made a mess of that table, but never mind.
We just had to get it refelted.
We refelted that fucking table, and now Mia's fucking drooling all over it. ready? This is why we need someone with us.
God.
He was kind of fodder for her kind of her jealousy and her kind of, she always has to get one back or get one over, and this is exactly what you're saying. Rather than kind of having a discussion about it or feeling aggrieved by something and kind of telling people off that have done wrong, she's then got to kind of one up them and go, fine, well, if you're going to do that, I'm going to have my ex-boyfriend stand in his boxers in this room where I'm measuring him quite closely, you know, inside leg and all that. And yeah, it was just awkward. Chase's contribution to this was trying to advise Brooke, but it wasn't great, I didn't think. And then Mia as well with Julian on the opposite end, I think she had a funny line, was like, yeah, grab a tape measure. And I thought, okay, that's quite witty. It almost endeared me to her, but not at all really. And then, yeah, I just sort of think the sooner they get married and fly off into a rock face, the better.
I just, all I'm thinking about is where you said the inside leg of like the tailoring is that bit in Friends when they're like, oh, yeah, that's not how they do pants. Oh yeah, that's how they do pants in prison.
Yeah.
But yeah, okay, good. Well, anything we missed, we'll catch it in Judgment. But first, if you enjoyed this episode of the podcast.
And how could you not?
Check us out, ravenshoops.net. Why, Dom? Because basketballs go through
hoops.
But yet they also go through
nets.
Ravenshoops.net. Dom, who was your favorite performer of this episode?
I found this really difficult to choose because everybody's a bit the same. Everybody's, it's nice to have Dan in there and thrown in, but he's not getting enough screen time. Rachel's a bellend, Renee's a dick. Haley was good, like, and Bethany Joy Lenz, I thought was quite good. And I thought James Lafferty was good. But yeah, Clay was okay. I find this really difficult to choose at the moment because they're all a bit samey.
Do you want me to go first?
I'll go for, I don't know, I can't remember her name, but the girl that plays Millie, the woman that plays Millie, apologies.
Yes.
Oh, God. He's looking. Check!
Is it?
I actually think she did do a very good job, you know, with the, like, her comedy moments, but also then her kind of stress and anxiety and the crying at the end, and then sort of sneaking and getting the pills, and kind of... showing her vulnerabilities to Mouth, but also kind of trying to show them to Brooke. I thought whatever her name is did a very good job.
Her name is Lisa Goldstein Kirsch.
Well, I picked her. What about you, Simon?
I will go with Lee Norris for his rant. I thought was good. What about your favorite character of the episode?
I'm actually going to pick someone that I would never normally pick, and that is Mouth, for it just keeping that integrity, sticking by his guns. He had a bit of a stressful moment with Millie at the beginning, but also got a decent apology in and tried to make her happy at the end. So, Mouth. And you?
Also, Mouth, doubling up.
Nice.
What about your favourite background performer?
One man or less. I picked Kylie, our resident Australian, and she said, what a pity, just found my motivation when Nathan's sheet gets whipped away. So I just went with her. What about you?
Yeah, I also went with her. I mistakenly mistook her for the psycho Derek's prostitute Peyton, but it wasn't her. It was obviously the Rainstorm girl. What was your favorite line of the episode?
I picked a Brooke line right at the beginning of the episode where she said, once a hoe bag, always a hoe bag. And seems like she's right because Alex has not changed. And what about you?
I went with, hi, Melvin. Just leave it at that. It's just perfect. Which reminds me of the previous episodes. Like, your boyfriend works in a sewer. It was just very much like, this could have been part one and part two of the same episode.
Yeah. Agreed.
What about your favourite song of the episode?
It's a bit of a cop-out. There wasn't much music through this episode that wasn't John Nordstrom, but I think there was a song at the end, so I'll go with that. You
didn't even hear any music in this episode. So I'll go with my boy John. Always.
Go on, John. Go on, John.
My ride or die. And then last but not least is the precious.
Precious.
Rating. Dom, did you have a number in mind before we started this conversation?
Yes.
Did it increase, decrease, or stay the same?
I think it stayed the same. Yeah, stayed the same. What about you?
I have a number that I've formulated now. I'm fluctuating between two. I'm going to go with the slightly higher one.
Oh, okay.
Because we've had episodes that haven't been as good as this in terms of entertainment value and things. And I think it's just a shame that it just feels like a bit of a cop-out. It just feels similar to the last episode. And that's frustrating. But if I'd seen this episode and not seen the previous one, then it would have made a difference. It's because they've followed each other. Right. Yeah. Well, let's see. Let's go together after three. One, two, three, six.
Six.
Both said six. I was tossing up between a five and a six, but I think...
I thought about five as well, but I stuck with my six. Main reasons for sticking with the six were Clay's story got slightly more interesting, and that was slightly different to what was going on. And the kind of Mouth and Millie progression, and the fact that Millie's story is about to get possibly upsetting, but interesting and a different turn. I think she feels like she's going to have to be a size zero, when actually that's the whole point, is that she doesn't and isn't, and it isn't a size. So yeah, go with that.
Yeah, I agree. I think there are some good points in here, but it did suffer from being a bit similar to the previous episode. So we will call this a six. Hopefully in that time Ashley would have got in contact and worked out all the previous ratings. Alex, I've got so mad with you, Ashley, that I called you Alex, and I apologize. Alex Dupre. Ashley, you haven't checked in and told me yet that you are going to do all of that work and get all of those ratings that we requested that you do. It's been one day since that episode has come out. I expect you to have listened to it and to... Right, right, Dom? Like, she should have been on this by now.
It's concerning. It's concerning. I've not seen anything from her in the Discord lately as well. So, don't neglecting her duties, if anything.
Don't make us do our own work. Don't make us have to ask somebody else to do this work.
No.
Not ourselves. Somebody else. Someone please do this for us.
Go back over the whole series and figure out what we rated every episode, please.
No, it's only like the last 15 episodes or so.
The whole series.
No, they don't need to do that. That's documented. I just look on Patreon, the pinned post, please. There's a few missing. Please. We love you all. But particularly those that will help do this work. Dom, how are we doing this? We're ravening out. What are you doing? You get to choose for yourself. I get to choose.
Oh. You get to. I chose on our movie episode, so you should choose here.
If I get to choose, I always just want you to be your dad saying my name. It's not fun for anyone but me.
Hey. Well, I can do that and something different.
Okay. Oh, two. Okay. Can you do that? And then can you also do Paul Johansson? Because we did it on John Q. So. Yeah, for people, yes, please.
Simon! Simon! Yeah. Bloody hell, Simon.
I want that as my message tone. Be the best.
Bloody hell, Simon. Okay, are you listening? Are you in? Are we all here? We're all settled? We're all happy? Yeah. What we're going to do now is we're going to do Ravens on three. Okay. Crazy. Ravens, are you ready?
Yeah. Listen
up close. One.
Mm-hmm.
And then two.
Yep.
I killed my brother. Three. Ravens.
The Ravens.